I want God's way to be my way. I sight Jenny here below. For there is no.
Shalom, saints, and welcome once more to Reflections on Faith. This is your brother and friend, Jason Zima, welcoming you to the studio. And with me, I'm with Pastor Andrew Sipiri. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Nzima. God bless you.
Yes, Pastor. Quickly, we are going back to our topic regarding women in ministry in the church. And we ended our broadcast last week with a question that came from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28.
Yes.
So let me read it, and then I read the question.
Mm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, the question is saying, Galatians 3:28 says that there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female.
Hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So, this comes out to allow women to preach just like men. That's the question. So we pick it up from there, Pastor.
Yes. This is a case of overstretching scriptures to fit one's interpretation.
Mm.
If Galatians 3 verse 28 means there is literally no difference between a man or woman, would I say, well, men also should start becoming pregnant to share the burden of women?
Mm.
No. There are certain things even nature will protest. It will tell you, yes, you are both human beings, but you have different roles, and your design shows that.
Mm-hmm.
If a man beginning to carry a pregnancy sounds ridiculous, then it goes without saying, Brother Nzima, that this verse should be understood in its proper context.
Mm-hmm.
And let us read the verse from verse 26. Let us read from Galatians 3, verse 26. Kindly read it through 29.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one
now,
in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise.
Now, it should be very simple, Brother Nzima, to see that Paul is talking about salvation.
Mm.
At the time Paul is writing this, Jews are the ones who call themselves true believers.
Mm.
Gentiles were all consumed in this paganism.
Mm.
But then something strange happened. Gentiles started receiving the gospel.
Mm.
Now, you need to know that Jews used to look at Gentiles as dirty dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Even one time the Lord, when a Gentile came asking for prayer, the Lord said, I can't give bread to dogs. You know, his mission was first to come to the household of Israel.
Mm.
It was later on, after he paid the price of our redemption, that he said, go ye out now into all the world, preaching the gospel.
Mm.
Even later on, when Peter had a vision, God speaking to him, to speak to the Gentiles, Peter could not comprehend what was going on. But as he went to preach to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit filled them. And Peter's eyes were opened to the fact that those whom God had cleansed could no longer be called unclean, like unclean animals.
Mm-hmm.
But this was not a truth that was easy to digest as the gospel was rolling out and reaching out to the Gentiles. It was very problematic. And Paul here now has to tell these Gentiles that ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith meaning not by the works of the law or things which Jews once were very proud of.
Mm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. So there's nothing like we are the Jews. We are the ones who have salvation. You Gentiles are dogs. There is no salvation to you. There's neither bond nor free. In that time, Brother Nzima, there used to be people who were slaves. They couldn't make up their own living, so they would work as a slave for another person. And even in the early years of the Christian church, you still have people who were living and working as slaves. So there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now, any little understanding of the Middle Eastern culture, even to this day, you know that women were not really considered. Even when you read the scriptures at the feeding of the 5,000, it is men who are counted, not women, not children. And people have this perception like, well, even salvation, it's about a man. A woman is nothing to read. But that's not the gospel of grace. Paul here is talking about whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, if you confess Jesus Christ, you are baptized into the faith.
That's right.
Whether you are a man or a woman, Christ's provision of salvation is free to everyone. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. This scripture has nothing to do with the work of the ministry in terms of preaching, in terms of teaching, who should teach, who should not teach or preach. If you say, well, according to this scripture, anyone can preach, whether he's a man or a woman, are you sure of that? Is that what the scripture is talking about? If that is so, then Paul presents a very confused picture. In Galatians, he says, there's neither male nor female, so all of you can preach. In 1 Corinthians, he says, no, you can't preach. To Timothy, Timothy would have stood up and said, but Brother Paul, to the Galatians, didn't you say there's neither male nor female? Here, why are you? Here you are telling us because a woman was deceived. Does it mean to the Galatian church, the Bible they are reading in Genesis, a woman was not deceived? Is the story of the Garden of Eden about a woman being put under the rulership of a man, is it only applicable to the Ephesian church, which Timothy was a pastor? Is that story only applicable to the Corinthian church? You see, when you take that view, the consistency of all the other explanations collapses.
That's right.
Confusion begins to rise in every place. And that is what happens whenever a scripture is given a wrong context in trying to force feed an interpretation. So, this is a very simple matter of understanding what is Paul speaking. And it doesn't even need to be subjected to a theological discussion because it is very plain that Paul is talking about any person, when they confess and receive Jesus Christ, God will accept them, whether they are a Jew, whether they are a Gentile, whether it's a man, whether it is a woman, whether it is male, female, we are all one in Christ. And in verse 29, it says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. We need to understand, Brother Nzima, that the Jews used to be very proud for being Abraham's children. And here Paul tells them, hey, don't be so excited with that. Anyone who believes, who is of the faith, the same substance of faith Abraham had, that person is a seed of Abraham. The Lord Jesus said the same thing. That time when he was entering Jerusalem and people were so excited and they were screaming out, Hosanna. And these religious leaders were offended. They told the Lord, tell your disciples to keep quiet. They're so noisy. These Pharisees, these Jews were so proud for having been the seed of Abraham. But you remember what the Lord Jesus said? If these keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
That's right.
Who are the stones? It's you and I, Brother Nzima.
That's right.
Once dead and so far away from the living promises of God. John the Baptist told them the same thing. He says, you are so happy and proud for being children of Abraham. But John the Baptist told them, hey, God is able to make of these stones becoming children of Abraham, coming into the faith. So that's you need to understand it in that context.
All right, Pastor. Thank you so much. But There's another question, and this one is saying, there's a woman in the scripture, mm-hmm. in the book of Romans chapter 16. Her name is Phoebe, and it says, the question is saying, Phoebe, a woman, is referred to by Paul as a servant of a church.
Mm.
That is Romans 16 verse 1.
Mm.
So we'll read, I'll read it.
Yes, please.
Romans 16 verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea.
Okay.
Now, the question also adds on that, Pastor. There is also Andronicus and Junia. And Junia was female. Romans, the same Romans chapter 16. So I'd want you to answer them together.
Okay.
Because they are saying this, Andronicus and Junia, his wife, they are saying whether it was his wife, but Junia was female. They are saying she was among the apostles. So let me read it. Verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
Wow.
So, yes, Pastor, this is the question.
Now,
Phoebe and Andronicus and Junia.
I must say, Brother Nzima, that a carnal person knows no limits for how far they can overstretch scriptures in order to satisfy their belief or ambition. Take an example of Phoebe. She is described as the servant of what?
Of the church.
The servant of the church.
Mm.
Now, look here. Someone reads a statement like, oh, they go to a certain scripture maybe which says, Paul, a servant of God. And then they come to this portion in Romans 16 verse 1. They find the words, Phoebe, a servant. And it doesn't even say a servant of God. And well, even if it still stated servant of God, that's not the issue. So let's say they read Paul, a servant of God. They go to another place and it says, Phoebe, a servant of God. Yes. Or as stated in Romans 16 verse 1, Phoebe, a servant of the church.
Yes.
And what do they do next? They say, hey, you see, Paul is a servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
In this verse, and in another verse, Phoebe, a servant of God. And what's the next thing they do? They equate the ministries of Paul and Phoebe. So they say, well, Paul is a servant of God, Phoebe is a servant of God. So can you see that Paul is a preacher, Phoebe is a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's terrible. That is poor exegesis of scriptures.
Mm.
Look at this illustration. If I say, person X is described as B in a verse of scripture, and there's also person Y who is also described as B in another verse of scripture. Do these two statements mean X and Y are the same in every aspect simply because X is described as B, Y is also described as B, given the same designation, so to speak? Does it mean X and Y operate the same in every aspect? Now, if one says yes, if person X is called B in one portion of scripture and person Y is called B in another portion of scripture or described as B, given the same description, then X and Y are the same in every way, in every capacity. If you think that makes sense, let us replace X and Y with the words sky and cat. If I say the sky looks gray, and then I say that cat looks gray, is the sky and the cat the same thing?
No, they're not.
Does it mean the sky and the cat are in the same category?
That's
ridiculous.
Yes.
But that is how educated theologians want to read the scripture. They'll say a prophetess is a female prophet. The question is, are they going to define a prophet as a male prophetess? Well, that's confusion of words, and that is not how you read scriptures. But you know what is beautiful about scripture, Brother Nzima? It is very simple.
Yes.
All you need to do is go back and read it. Throw away all the rubbish all the foolishness that has been fed into your mind.
Yes.
And read the scriptures prayerfully and sincerely. That's don't right. read it in trying to defend your position, because you're going to see whatever you want to see out of it.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, let us read Romans 16, verse 1. I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a servant of the church? Now, we don't need to interpret anything, Brother Nzima. Mm-hmm. Let us just continue reading. The scripture will explain itself what kind of work Phoebe used to do. Can you read on verse 2?
That ye receive in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you.
Yes.
For she hath been a succorer of men.
She has been what?
A succorer.
Of many and of myself also. What does this mean?
Mm.
What kind of work did she used to do as a servant of the church? She used to be a succorer of many. When people come, she prepares food for them. She was always wanting to take care of the servants of God in case there's a family of believers who have come. She was always troubled. Mm-hmm. She wants to know where they're sleeping. She wants to take care of them. She was doing all these hospitable works.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, she became a servant of the church. There's a particular church where she used to be, and she was a servant of the church. Servant means someone who serves.
Mm.
And so whenever there is a need, she was always out there to succor, to feed, to take care of the needs of these missionaries who were coming. And Brother Nzima, even in this faith, there are many women I have seen in these many missionary trips we go to. I have seen many wonderful elderly sisters whom I can call their servants of the church. They always want to make sure things are going right. Mm-hmm. Servants of God are getting fed. There's the accommodation where they're sleeping is good. And their testimony is so wonderful that they're really serving the church. They're serving the ministry. Do you know that Jesus Christ also had women who ministered to him out of the substance they had? Let us read that one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see where it is. Okay.
So just to add on, the word succorer, in other words, we can say helper.
Yes, that's what it means. Yeah. Someone who helps, someone who assists, someone who takes care of things.
Mm.
Now let's read Luke 8 verse 3. Sorry, not this one. Okay, yeah, Luke 8 verse 3. Let us look at Luke 8 verse 3. As we are reading this, Brother Nzima, you need to know that when God says a woman cannot preach, when the scripture says that, it doesn't mean a woman is an outcast, she's a doormat, she needs to be abused. No, there is a special place for women in the body of Christ.
That's right.
The body of Christ is an organism. And just like every organism, in an organism like you, a human being, there's a heart, there are lungs, there are hands, there is a mouth, there are eyes. If a mouth speaks, imagine what confusion our bodies will have if the eyes say we need to be all equal. Even me, you know, why can't I start speaking? You see, the beauty of God's order, when God says a woman cannot preach, there are other places God has given her. And when she stays in that place, she is a blessing in that role that God has given her. And there are many great women we can look at. And one of them is what we're about to read. That was what? Luke 8.
Luke 8 verse 3.
Yes, brother.
And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance.
Can you see other servants here?
Yes.
They ministered to the Lord out of their substance. These could have been business women. Maybe they were well-to-do. Or they came together trying to make sure when the Lord is moving from this place to another place, does he have something to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Have we prepared where he is going to sleep with the disciples?
That's right.
Will they be comfortable in that place?
Mm-hmm.
They ministered unto the Lord. Another crazy person is going to come up and say, you see, women were ministering to Jesus. They were preaching. What they take the modern rendition of the word minister. Because today, Brother Nzima, if I say, you'll be ministering today in church. You know, there's a meaning we attach to that.
Yes.
We mean you'll be preaching, right?
That's right. That's right.
Now, there's this confusion where people take the usage of words as has become common in the society.
Mm.
They read it in the scripture and they give it the interpretation of the story they have in their heads.
That's right.
So, for example, people like calling a pastor servant of God, servant of God. So the moment they're going to see the word servant of God in the scripture and it is ascribed to a woman, they're going to think, oh, that woman must be a preacher, because that is what we call a preacher today. You say servant of God. We shouldn't read scripture
and
like that.
And to chip in, Pastor, I like the way the ERV version puts it.
Yeah.
Also, with these women were Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's property, Susanna, and many other women. These women used their own money to help Jesus and his apostles.
Well, I think it makes it very plain, isn't it?
Yes.
They used their own?
Their own money.
Money. Okay. So that's a very simple translation.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, Pastor. So there's still some more questions. I want to read another one.
Yes, please.
But it's still on the same Romans 16, verse 7, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
This is Andronicus and Junia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
We had forgotten that one, actually. You had already read it out.
Yes, that's verse 7.
Yes, you can read it again.
Salute Andronicus and Junia. In the very little time we have, Pastor, I believe you can chip in, you can deal with it.
Right.
Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of naught among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
Hmm.
So that is in the King James Version.
Yes.
I would love to read it in the other version as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So while I look for that version, you can still chip in, Pastor, on that.
Well, again, you see, this is another case of trying to overstretch scriptures to satisfy a doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it says Andronicus and Junia is a woman, and probably she was a wife of Andronicus.
Mm.
Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of naught among the apostles.
Yes.
This is a problem of understanding the English phrase.
Mm.
Does this mean Andronicus and Junia were notable apostles? Because people who support women preachers, that is how they're trying to read this, to say Andronicus and Junia were of not among the apostles. They want to read this to mean they were notable apostles.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. That is not true.
Yeah.
It means this couple were, because of their commitment and dedication, they became so noticeable among the apostles.
Mm.
And the English Standard Version can help us. Just read it in the English Standard Version.
Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners.
Mm.
They are well known to the apostles.
You see that?
And they were in Christ before me.
They are well known to the apostles. Meaning,
that's right.
You see, Brother Nzima, there are some people who are not called into the preaching ministry, but yet they are so committed in their calling.
Mm-hmm.
In so much that they invest in their calling, and their calling could be helping, assisting. Any person who commits to their calling or gift, whatever it is in the body of Christ, that gift grows.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes noticeable even among other people. Mm. You know, and even this is still happening today in the body of Christ. There are certain people, they're not preachers and all that, but they've just given their hearts to supporting missionary work to such an extent that their names, whether as a couple or as an individual, their names are known even in ministry circles, where people say, okay, when you go to that country, such and such a brother and sister together with his wife, they are such a blessing, where such people become well-known and noted in the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is not just preaching. It's not just ministering as in preaching or establishing people in the faith. Mm. There's so many gifts. Do you know the scripture says some people are called in terms of helps, giving out helps?
Yeah, that's right.
Giving in terms of administration.
Mm.
Maybe we read that. That is in, let's see where that is.
Okay.
That should be...
So as we are opening that scripture, Pastor, so this is a question mm-hmm. of not understanding the mind of God, because what we think is great in the sight of God is not.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, he who should be the greatest amongst you should be the least.
Mm.
People are fighting for this top, because I've seen in the denominational world now, someone can become a bishop. From yes. there, he has to aspire, becomes an apostle, and he becomes a doctor, reverend, apostle. This is an understanding of the greatness in the house of God.
Right.
When someone says, I'm a prophet,
mm-hmm.
I can do this. People look to that person as someone who's reached the pinnacle of the calling in the ministries.
Yes.
But not knowing that God reveals himself in simple things.
Like
you have said, Pastor,
mm-hmm.
sisters have a very special place in the body of
Christ.
Very
wonderful place.
And when they are in their place, the body benefits.
Everything, anything which is in its place is a very beautiful thing.
Yes. Because if you look at what is happening now, this equality problem, it is even very difficult now to raise children.
Yeah.
I was reading a book by Jonathan Cahn. It's called Return of the Gods. And, you know, he was saying in the 1960s in America, when women left their place, the vote was granted to them. This human rights came up and everything. There was child delinquency. There was children started growing up without proper discipline, without proper mentorship, proper guidance in a home, because the mother was not there.
Right.
So when the word of God speaks and we take it in its right place, it just doesn't benefit your spiritual well-being, but it puts you, it also helps you with nature, your physical well-being, the progress of your children, their discipline, their growth, their development.
Right.
So the word of God cuts across the lines.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I've just found this scripture I was looking for. It's 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So there are all these different callings in the body of Christ. And there is this one which says helps.
Yes.
And there's also administration. I think that's in another place.
Yes.
So now, if this person has been gifted in terms of helps, like the way Phoebe was doing, succoring, you know, the saints, she was a servant of the church.
Yes.
Andronicus and Junia, they became so notable to the apostles, and they were in Christ before Paul. That does not mean they were one of the apostles. Unfortunately, certain Bible versions will put a twist to that and give it a misinterpretation. But, you know, like I said earlier, the truth of God runs consistent. It paints a consistent picture. And once you catch the thought of consistency, you will know that when you look at it in that context, it flows in sequence with the Old Testament through to the New Testament. Nothing gets out of sequence. Amen.
Amen. So looking at time, Pastor, we may need to end it here. But before we do, I still have a couple of questions here concerning the same. So let me read one question that you may start with in the next episode.
Yes.
We are still on the same topic. Now, this one is bringing forth the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it is also bringing out the issue of the resurrection and the Samaria, what happened in Samaria. So first, the question is saying, women can preach because Joel 2:28 says that it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, not just sons, but daughters, shall prophesy. So why are we leaving out women? Because daughters, of course, become women. So if we say women can't preach, here the scripture is very clear. His spirit has allowed us now. So this is the question.
Yeah, and very interesting question.
Next week, the next episode We'll start with this one, Pastor.
Yeah, and it's a good question. And please, if you are listening to this, if you have a question, you have any comment, send a WhatsApp text to 0979-316-098. Send a WhatsApp text or voice note to 0979-316-098. May the Lord richly bless you.
Amen.
And shalom.